As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome into the Scraby Show for March 19th, 2025. Thank you to everybody for joining me, and thank you for joining us throughout the week out in Peoria. So we will, or I will, talk a little bit about the trip in the next segment, but it was a fun trip overall. It was a good trip. It was a quick trip, so not much to talk about, but there's a little bit to talk about. I did my research out there. I talked to some people. I wanted to, you know, get some back, backdoor information. That's kind of a strange way of putting that. I wanted to get some secret information. So I talked to some people. I'll share that with you all when I, next segment. But I think we have to start with Aztecs basketball. Now, I'm not going to come down on Aztecs basketball like a lot of other people, because I didn't even think this team was going to... At the beginning of the year, we were being cautioned by anyone who knew about this team and knew that they were going to be young and they were going to have a lot of learning to do this year. So getting into the tournament is kind of icing on the cake for me because of how much I talked to different people and they said that they don't really expect this team to be as good as last year or as good a couple years ago. But I thought them getting into the tournament was a win in itself. And I know that's kind of a loser mentality, I guess, but they played a really, really good team. And listen, you can't win when you go 8 for 27 from 3, and the other team goes 14 for 24 from 3. You can't win when you go 14 for 23 from the free throw line, and the other team is 21 of 24 from the free throw line. Everything about last night's game was... Everything about last night's game was frustrating. And my daily gripe, I'm going to give a little preview. It's about, like, anticipation for big games. But last night's game was one of those where I left. I actually, name dropper, when I was packing up everything last night, Joe Musgrove walked by. And I just, you know, randomly said, hello, Joe. Or I said, what's up, Joe? And we got to talking for like a minute or two. Nothing crazy. But we were both talking about how excited we were for the Aztecs game. So Joe's leaving excited to go watch the game. I'm leaving excited to go watch the game. And it was over from minute 3 into the game. 17 minutes left in the first half. Now, did I think that they were going to make a run at some point? Yeah, I did. But it never came. Never happened. They started shooting a bunch of threes. They just went outside of their game. And I went through the play-by-play this morning because I was listening to the game as I was driving home yesterday. So I wasn't really paying attention to, you know, the actual play-by-play. But I did remember that in the beginning of the game, they looked kind of strong for a second. And then they settled into this, let's just shoot a bunch of three type of game, and I wasn't into it. So 18:35 left in the game. The game is left in the first half. Game's tied 2-2. B.J. Davis steal, And then right down the court, 10 seconds later, Jared Coleman-Jones missed the three. Then Nick Boyd makes a three, and B.J. Davis steals another ball. And then 4 seconds later, Nick Boyd misses a three. Then a minute later, Miles Bird steals the ball, and then Miles Bird misses a three 8 seconds later. And then you have a Jared Coleman-Jones. Let me start that over. Jared Coleman-Jones turnover at 15:50 left in the first half. RJ Davis goes down, makes a layup. North Carolina up 10-6. How did the Aztecs respond? Nick Boyd misses a three-pointer. So I felt like once they got away from trying to find better shots, I felt like it was over. And I know that people are saying this is the most embarrassing loss in the history of the program. I don't think it's the most embarrassing. Now, is it one of those things that we're going to remember? Yeah, we'll remember this game and we'll remember how bad that they lost. But I don't know that we'll really be having bad thoughts about it years and years from now. I can't call this the most embarrassing loss because I didn't see the Aztecs throughout all those years when they were not very good. But last night was not a great way to show the country that your team is up and coming. And that's the part I think is where I am most like taken aback by the whole game, is that yesterday everybody was going to get to see what San Diego State basketball is all about. And they didn't show up. And it wasn't even like they weren't into it. It wasn't even like they were lagging. They just never got into the game. And credit to North Carolina. I mean, they have a lot of experience, North Carolina does, on that team in a tournament setting. RJ Davis is the second scorer in North Carolina history. So it's not like they got beat by a team that was not good. This team is good, and we did hear that North Carolina was the last team in and they shouldn't have been in and all this other stuff. Well, they definitely look like they should have been in last night. They definitely look like that because they were unstoppable. Shooting 80% from three in the first half is like something that you can't ever predict, because no team shoots 80% from three in a half. It just doesn't happen. But as the game went along, you could just tell that North Carolina had more experience. They had a lot a better game plan. And I'm not saying that the coaching staff did a bad job, because I think the coaching staff did a good job. But their game plan on offense, you know, Spiro Dedis was breaking it down along with his analyst. I can't remember his name. But they were saying it was basically RJ Davis crashes the rim. And then he kicks it out for a three, and they just kept making him and making him and making him. So it was less than desired for the Aztecs last night. And all I could think about on the drive home was how Chris was going to have to get home, and he was going to have to sit down at midnight after a long drive back from Peoria, and he was going to have to sit there and watch that entire game. And now, if you missed the first part of Quinn and Chris, he did say that when he was driving back, Chris said, that he didn't get any text messages, which worried him because he felt like that was a bad omen. But then he got home and he watched it. And then when I texted this morning and I said, hey, Chris, we're going to have to get a whole breakdown on you watching the game, Chris texted back, what game? And that's how we went on with that. But Chris, he did sit there last night and he did torture himself by watching that game. That is just pure torture watching last night. It was bad. It was so bad. But we move on. Junior says, we won't forget this L. I mean, I really think that they, on the at face value, with like how embarrassing it is, it's very embarrassing that they did this in front of the entire country, and they were one of the first four games, which everybody is watching. So that's embarrassing. The actual result, an actual game, not that embarrassing. They just got outplayed. They just got outplayed by a better team that was more ready to play. And it went downhill very quickly. So there you go. That's the Aztecs' thoughts here. And I'm looking forward to next year. I mean, this team is going to be pretty good. Now, Magoon Gwath, them keeping Magoon Gwath is a number one important thing for the Aztecs this offseason. And if Magoon Gwoth goes somewhere else, they will survive. But Magoon Gwoth has showed that he could be a star in college basketball. And last night, he had a couple plays that really, I think, opened the eyes of the announcers and people watching. I mean, Magoon Gwoth, 7-footer shooting threes. Also, Magoon Gwoth is blocking shots. He almost had a monster dunk. Almost had a monster dunk, but the ball was knocked out of his hands and he wasn't able to. But they have to. They have to find a way to bring Gwoth back. You can't replace someone like him who won all of these Mountain West honors. And he's the guy who is going to get your program, hopefully, to that next level. And I don't know how they're going to do it. They're going to do the best that they can. But what's to say that a team like Duke or something doesn't show up with $3, $4, $5 million and says, hey, come play for us and we'll pay you this. That's the bad part. And that's the part I don't like about the current college sports system, is that you can have a star in your team and a team can recruit them for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, that player is gone. And I don't want to get up one morning and read that Magoon Gwoth is in the transfer portal. I don't know anything, or I've never met Magoon Gwoth. I don't know much about him. But it seems like he's an Aztec. And money does talk and will talk. But Magoon Gwoth is someone I think that fits the culture of the program very well. And if I'm going to live in a fantasy world, I'm going to say that Magoon Gwoth wants to build the Aztecs program up. I really think that he is, it seems like he's a guy who wants to have his name in the rafters of Viejas Arena. Clay said, Scraby, we knew the outcome that Chris didn't. We watched the game in hopes of the Aztecs going on a run. Never happened. Still a young team. But now they have tournament experience to reflect. Yes, they do. Trevor says, he's tall. Yes, Magoon Gwoth is very tall. So we can move forward on the Aztecs season after that. Look forward to UCSD men playing in the tournament. Also, you have the UCSD women playing in the women's tournament. And you got the Aztecs playing LSU on Saturday in the women's tournament. If you missed it during Gwynn and Chris, you can go back on the YouTube or in the podcast, and you could go back to 3:40 p.m. And that's when we had Kim Villalobos and Megan Fiso. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But they were in studio. They were awesome. And if you want to learn a little bit more about some of the members of that team, go back and watch that interview right there on YouTube. Search 97.3 The Fan. You can watch me on YouTube, and you can do that by searching 97.3 The Fan, or you could search for The Scraby Show. It'll pop up there, and you'll be able to see. I think it's youtube.com/@TheScrabyShow, S-K-R-A-B as in boy, Y. When we get back, we'll talk about the trip to Peoria. I'll talk about some of the things that I heard from people. And then later, we have a daily gripe that has to do with last night's Aztecs game. And also, we have some more Rob Manfred media rights things that he's floating out there in the media. So we have plenty more to talk about. This is The Scraby Show. Thanks for being with me here on 97.3 The Fan. You know, I gotta say, if you are a Dodgers fan, you should probably tune out of this segment real quick. Come back in like 3 minutes. Because I woke up this morning to, I'm not kidding, 4 push notifications about the Dodgers and Cubs game that was happening in Japan. And you would have thought, because I did not want to get up and watch these games after what happened last year. It threw my sleep schedule off for an entire week. But so I didn't see any highlights of these games. And I woke up this morning and my phone is just going off with push notifications about how The Dodgers won. The Dodgers start 2-0, 160 games for a undefeated record. I don't know that they do that with any other team. I don't know why. But baseball, and this is going to sound like I'm complaining, and maybe I am, but baseball pushes the Dodgers so hard on the rest of baseball. If you go to their social media accounts, all you see are Dodgers posts. And then it's sprinkled in there, oh, a Bobby Witt Jr. post. But they're doing the wrong thing, I think. The Dodgers need no promotion whatsoever. They've got all the eyeballs that they need in the world on them. And more. But I am just not a fan of every time Shohei Ohtani does anything, I get these huge messages, or I get these messages about what happened in the game. And yesterday, or this morning, I mean, I woke up and it was Shohei Ohtani. I'm looking at it right now. Shohei Ohtani, Ohtani smacks first homer of season. Shohei Ohtani and the Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers win game number two in Chicago. Shohei Ohtani hits a no doubter. I did see that. I'm looking at it right now. I screenshotted it. By the way, it was a fan interference that actually was the reason for the home run. I guess the fan stuck his or her hand over the fence and tried to grab the ball and tried to catch it. So it was fan interference. But this does 100% sound like I'm complaining about the Dodgers. But what I'm trying to do is make people realize that the Dodgers aren't the only team in baseball. I hate that. 2-0, 160 more to go. I hate it. I hate it. And I'm not saying this because the Dodgers are in the National League West. I'm saying this because if it was the Red Sox being promoted like this, if Shohei Ohtani was a Met or a Yankee, I'd be feeling the same exact way. It's just too much. Like, I understand. I really understand that you want to promote your game to the rest of the world, but you're doing it at the expense of other fans that, you know, have supported you for a much longer time. Now, do I think that they should stop talking about Shohei Ohtani? No, but I would like for some sort of, you know, he has to do something really crazy for me to get a push notification. Now, him hitting a home run to the fence and having a fan lifted over is not my idea of a home run. But I was looking through my phone and I forgot I took that screenshot this morning, and I saw it and I was just upset about it because I got home at 12:30, I think, last night, and I didn't fall asleep until like 2 a.m. or something like that. So, and then I woke up at 6:30 a.m. I am running on 4.5 hours, which is fine because it's kind of like punch drunk scraby. But now you know I'm a little perturbed by the Dodgers coverage. I also just think the whole game in Japan to start the year is weird anyway. I said it yesterday. I know I sounded, you know, like a get off my lawn guy, but I don't care. I don't care. This hour at 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $250 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends April 5th. Plus, save even more with the Easy Reward program at Staples. So, yeah, last night after the show, I got into the car and I started my way home, and the bad part about Phoenix is that the traffic is so terrible that I even like took my time cleaning up because I didn't really want to sit in that traffic. I just wanted to get in the car and go and not have to deal with bumper to bumper traffic. But I dealt with bumper to bumper traffic anyway. And as I was coming home, I have to say that, It is extremely dangerous late at night on the roads, especially when people are sleepy, not even drunk. I'm pretty sure I saw a sleepy driver last night. And myself, there was a point where I was like an hour from home and my eyes were getting real, real heavy. And I was about to pull over, but I opened the windows and I played some Slipknot and boom, I made it home. But it was an easy drive back. The trip to Peoria was so fast, I feel like I never even went there, to be honest. It was incredibly fast, but it was a good one. And I'm glad that the station was able to send us out there. And I'm glad that we were able to talk with all the different players that we did. And while I was out there, I got to talk to some of the people that have been around this organization for the last, you know, 5-6 weeks. And there are more position battles. There are more battles than I think that we're really aware of. But obviously the major ones, you know, you have the bench for the Padres. I was talking to some people, and they don't know that this is going to happen, but they do think that Kyle Hart has shown enough to at least get an attempt at the fifth rotation spot. I didn't see, we already know Adrian Morihone is going to be a reliever. We already know that Randy Vasquez hasn't been pitching well in spring training. Johnny Brito's just not ready. Matt Waldron is injured. Yu Darvish is injured. So they're thinking that maybe Kyle Hart would have a good spot or a good shot at the fifth spot in the rotation. And Gavin Sheets has like bullied his way to the top of this list of who's going to make the team as a bench player or a DH. Gavin Sheets was really, he was impressive when we sat down with him. And even after and before the interview, he seems like he gets it. And Brandon Lockridge got it too, because Chris asked him a really good question, Brandon Lockridge, about what it's like to see all these other guys around the league get signed and then you're still waiting for someone to call you and give you a job. And he had a really good answer. And actually, you know what? Let me get this answer, because dealing with the off-season unknown is something that I think people don't realize. And for guys like Brandon Lockridge, this off-season, this spring training is something they have to do every year to make a team. So here is Brandon Lockridge talking about dealing with that off-season unknown. Here is Brandon Lockridge dealing with that, talking about dealing. Okay, it's opening, I swear.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, you see it and you're like, okay. But then I put myself in, you know, the organization shoes, and it's like, look, man, I've got 12 major league at-bats. There's a high risk in just trusting me, you know, like coming off the – so I can completely understand you've got a lot of, you know, experience, value in these guys, played the game at a high level for a very long time. I mean, it would honestly be not smart, I think, in my opinion, to just go with this guy that has no experience. You have no idea, and then you're kind of stuck in season with whether I perform or not. You know, it's a humongous risk, and I just truly can't blame them at all. I hope to prove them that I can, you know,
be one of those guys,
be one of the guys. But you know, I completely understand where they're coming from, and you know, I just hope that there's an opportunity at some point.
I love that attitude. I do. Because someone like that knows that he has to work for it. He can't just walk in and get the job. But I also, knowing the realities of the business, I really think is important too. Because I know I'm not a professional baseball player, but in the radio game, when I was coming up, and I really wanted the opportunity to be on the air, and I really wanted the opportunity to be a part of a show and all that, I wasn't getting the opportunities that I wanted. And I didn't quite understand at the time that it wasn't because maybe I was bad or maybe they didn't want me on the air. It was because I just didn't have enough experience to be doing morning radio and talking a lot. And I learned that after the fact. And I learned that years later, I kind of realized it years later, that they didn't, at the time, didn't feel comfortable putting me on the air when I didn't have the experience. And Brandon Lockridge, I think I can relate to that a little bit. He, I mean, this mindset of his is so open that I'm kind of surprised that he would not answer this way, because I appreciate the honest answer. But he says he understands it. He knows it's a big risk to take on him, so he's got to prove it. And I think that is the mindset, the proving it part, that is what separates professional athletes. Guys who think that they've proven themselves and they don't need to prove themselves anymore, and then guys who think, I haven't proved myself, I got to continue proving myself. And I think Brandon Lockridge is one of those guys. But I was talking to someone else about Connor Joe, and Connor Joe was, when he was signed by the Padres, we all thought, okay, this is a perfect no-brainer. He's going to make the team. We don't have any questions about this. He's going to platoon in left field with Jason Hayward. And then I've been talking to some people, and there's a good possibility that Connor Joe starts a team on the in AAA or something like that, because, you know, he has options, and so it's not like they're going to have to release him if they want to send him somewhere. But Connor Joe, you know, is a guy who has major league experience that isn't even a lock for this team. So I do think that the problems we talked about all offseason were just that, just problems that we talked about, because now they have different problems, the Padres do, and they have better problems to worry about. Padres do not have to worry about finding someone anymore to join the team. They have to figure out what the best roster is for this team, and the competition is friendly, which is great, but it's also insane how well some of these guys are playing right now. And spring training is a very, very, very long, tedious process. But if you look at recency bias, it would have to be Gavin Sheets being the guy who's a leader to make this team. But, you know, I do think that they're going to give him that opportunity. The 6 home runs in spring is great, but he's also hitting the ball pretty hard. And they do need some sort of traditional type of DH, and it sounds like he's all right with being a traditional DH. And the what I'm seeing from this team, and what I took from everything that I heard and talked to people about when I was out there, was that this is best case scenario, because they have so many different ways they can go with the bench and the roster, and they are going to have guys that don't make the team that probably could have made the team else or on other teams. And those guys are going to step right up when they have injuries. Those guys are going to be right there, hungry to get back to the major league level. And I think that's the best way for you to get the most out of your end of the roster guys. You know, the 24th, 25th, 26th type of roster guys, is by making it known, hey, we got guys behind you. So if you're not going to perform, then we have no problem grabbing those guys and putting them in your spots. So you better perform, which does make people play better, in my opinion. But the trip out to Arizona was very nice, and I am glad to be back, but I'm also glad for opening day in 8 days from now. We got a lot going on here in the next week here at 97.3 The Fan. So we have Dave and Buster's on Friday. If you want to come and join the party, starts at 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Ben and Woods from 6 to 10 a.m. Braden's Apprentice from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Then Gwen and Chris, 2 to 6. And then the Scraby Show, 6 to 7 at Dave & Buster's in Mission Valley this Friday. Also, brackets. If you want to sign up for our bracket challenge, you just have to pick your field before tomorrow. I think I'll just say 9 a.m. just to be on the safe side. You can go to 973thefansd.com. Just scroll down on the page, and you'll see the sign up for the bracket. Also, it's on my Twitter, at Matt Scraby. Also, you can come in the YouTube chat. It's in the YouTube chat as well, at The Scraby Show. When we get back, there has been Rob Manfred. He says so many different things that contradict everything, but there's one thing that they are making very clear that they want to do, and it kind of stems off of the Dodgers and Ohtani talk from earlier. So I'm going to tell you what Rob Manfred thinks is going to be the best thing for his league in regards to media rights when we get back here on the Scraby Show on 97.3 The Fan. Back here, Austin Palace 97.3 The Fan, Matt Scraby, the Scraby Show. Thank you for being here. Tomorrow is going to be the day I think I'm going to feel the most tired. I don't know about everybody else, but I usually am okay the first day after, you know, getting no sleep. And then it's the second day that's really tough. So tomorrow, I'm going to try to go to bed early tonight. We'll see. But I was, as I do get distracted during the break, I was actually reading about the astronauts that are back on Earth after being up there since June of 2024. I have to say, how in the world do you stay in space, in a confined space, since June of 2024? My anxiety is through the roof just thinking about that. I mean, okay, you're here on Earth, you're stuck in a house. At least you got a house and you can move around. In space, you're just, you can't go anywhere. You're literally stuck in the same little tube forever. Since June of 2024. This freaks me out. And they were only supposed to go, these astronauts were only supposed to go for 1 week. They planned a 1 week trip in June of 2024. And I guess the Boeing spaceship or whatever didn't make it there. Or it couldn't make it back. It was damaged. They said it was not something that, it was damaged and they didn't want to risk anything with the astronauts coming back to Earth. So it took them, what, how many months is June? Let's count together. July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. That was 9 months ago. They've been in there for 9 months. All right, I'll stop with that because, I mean, still, that is crazy. I'm sweating just thinking about it, everybody. All right, Rob Manfred. By the way, you're listening to The Scraby Show, 97.3 The Fan. Join us on YouTube at The Scraby Show or 97.3 The Fan. But Rob Manfred, his legacy is going to be these media contracts, these huge media rights deals that baseball's been trying to get done here. It's been kind of the wild, wild west here in the last couple years. It's also been really frustrating to see, I think it was Diamond Sports. Diamond Sports is, I think they're to blame for a lot of this because they were the regional sports networks. They were Bally's. Diamond Sports took over, and so they were the parent company of Bally's. Anyway, long story short, they bought up a bunch of regional sports networks and then declared bankruptcy, and so those regional sports networks in certain cities weren't able to continue to go on. And so that's why it threw the broadcast rights for teams, and it threw it into flux a little bit, threw it into the air. But according to a new report by The Athletic's Evan Drellich, the league is considering doing something radical, and that would be to sell their media packages by bundling domestic and international broadcast rights to attract a tech company like Apple or Amazon that is more interested in marketing Major League Baseball on a global scale rather than exclusively to an American market. Rob Manfred told The Athletic, quote, "The explosion in popularity in Korea and Japan is going to create an opportunity to fundamentally change the way we sell our media rights. We've traditionally sold them in individual countries, and I think in 2028 they will be sold as part of an international package that will help us drive our media revenue in general." Now, I do know it's the smart move to want to go international and capture markets you haven't captured before. But how, again, it's a smart business move, but this thought can't leave my head. How much money do you really need? They're already making so much money. I do not care, Rob Manfred, about the media rights package in international versus domestic. I think they're starting to do what the NFL did years ago, and the NFL keeps dipping their toe more and more in. But they're starting to make, in my opinion, the American people secondary to international fans. And that's because they have already got us. But they need their new people. They need the people that are in Japan, in Korea, I don't know, in Europe, in the UK. I know Welsh Fryer, he is a fan of baseball, and he lives in Wales. I almost said something else, but I'm glad I said Wales. I don't, like, with the MLS, you have this Apple TV package that, sure, makes it easy for people to watch it everywhere, but it really does limit the amount of people that you're going to expose your sport to. And when I was at the game on Saturday night, I was talking to someone about the media rights for MLS and how they're going to be under contract, I believe, for like the next 8 or 9 years, maybe even 10 years. And there's been rumblings that some owners in MLS are they're actually kind of not angry, but they're frustrated with the TV package from MLS because they can't get to everyone. But they can get to everyone around the world, but that doesn't really help people here. MLS is supposedly an American league, and they want American fans, but it seems like these sports really don't care about us anymore. They would much rather just have us keep spending our money. As I said, they know they got us. So why would they keep marketing to us? Why would they keep trying to get us in the stadium? I'm not a fan of this. Rod says MLB will expand to the outside of the U.S. for sure. They should be looking for opportunities south of the border. I agree with that too. I think that makes more sense than putting games in Japan and Korea, because at least we're in some sort of the same time zone. I don't know. I feel like a 90-year-old man every time I come on here and I start complaining about how sports are going international, which, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that people don't deserve to enjoy American sports, but I just don't like it when a league decides that the international market is now their focus and the domestic market is secondary. I don't think if they play more games in Japan and Korea, it's going to make Major League Baseball fans here in the States happy at all. Reckoner says, it feels like pandering to an extent. That's a good call. That's actually a really good call, Reckoner, because they are kind of pandering. They see this opportunity with Shohei Ohtani and Roki Sasaki and Yamamoto, and they see that they have a whole country in Japan that is going to be a fan of the Dodgers, and then you got Korea with, you know, all the Korean players that are coming over from the KBO. They're just more focused on something else, and I need to accept it. I need to accept it because this is how it's going to be. And Amazon, if they want to bid on this, and Google and Apple and Netflix, like, we're going to start getting our sports to the point where everything's behind a paywall. And then they're going to run commercials on top of it. It's just like, when does it stop? When does it stop? That's what I say. They says they also want to grow the WBC. Fine with that, too. I like the WBC. That is the world's baseball game. The World Baseball Classic is the world's baseball game. Last time I checked, all of our teams are here in the States, in the 48 contiguous states. I don't know if people think I'm just constantly overdoing this. I don't know if people think I'm spot on. I don't know if people don't really care. I don't know if anyone's listening. No, I'm just kidding. I could see the Scrabinators on the chat, but it's just not for me. It's just not for me. Japan is baseball gaga with money. Yes, it is. It is baseball gaga with no money. But there's only really one team getting that money. Come on. It's the Dodgers. We're just going to continue to let the Dodgers make unlimited money. And now I am going into a direction where I'm just hating on the Dodgers because I'm upset at the moment. Okay. I'll get off of this because it's just going to continue. There's more and more and more news that's going to continue to make me angry. The other thing I wanted to get into before we get to the Daily Gripe, but no one wants Aaron Rodgers. No one wants him. The Steelers, I guess, have a contract out for him, and he hasn't decided yet. Steelers star Cam Hayward said he's over it. He doesn't want to deal with it. You either want to be a Steeler or you don't want to be a Steeler. So now they're writing articles about which network is going to pick up Aaron Rodgers to be their analyst. And the article I read said no network is going to pick him up because he is not, and this is according to the article, not likable. They even said, quote, he needs a complete image overhaul. And I agree with that. Do I think he would be a good analyst, though? I think he would. I think he would be really good because he's smart. He knows he's a very good communicator. People are going to either hate him or love him. There's going to be no middle. And I think that's exactly what they want, is someone like that. Now, if he starts going off on his like tangents and starts saying Jimmy Kimmel was a part of the Jeffrey Epstein stuff, then, you know, that's why they don't want him. But I do think Aaron Rodgers would be pretty... I do think Aaron Rodgers would be interesting in the booth, and I wouldn't mind seeing him in the booth, but I think he's going to try to play one more year before he ever does that. Maybe he won't ever do that. He doesn't need the money. He's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of legacy. So, all right, here we go into the Daily Gripe.
What's annoying Scraby today? Let's find out. It's time for the Daily Gripe.
Jocelyn said, how is that not your gripe? I think you're talking about MLB and like international stuff. It's not my gripe because I gripe about that every single day. My gripe is this. It is the anticipation for a game that ends up going terribly for you. Last night, so I was so excited for this Aztecs game. And I kept thinking, oh, they're going to, you know, what if they win? They're going to be back in the tournament, in like the main tournament. It's going to be great. And then they go out and they do what they did and go down by 40 at one point. That's the Daily Gripe, is the anticipation for the game being completely deflated about 5 minutes into the game because your team is getting their butt kicked. And that's what happened last night for the Aztecs. That is... they got their butt kicked. It was not pretty. And I knew it was going to be bad. As soon as I saw them making a couple threes in a row, I was like, ugh. Ugh. This is going to be terrible. This is going to be terrible. And I should just turn it off right now. I will tell you, I did not turn it off. I kept listening to it as I was driving home. But then I finally turned it off with like 10 minutes left in the second half because, ugh. But yeah. So, anticipation for a game that ends up going terribly for you. Emma Key says, game four of the NLDS last year. Yes, yes, yes. That was another one. Everybody knows that feeling. Just waiting for like a week or a couple days or just counting down the minutes until this game starts. And then, boom, your team's done. Like 5 minutes into the game. That's the Daily Gripe. All right, I'm going to go home. I'm going to get some sleep. And I will be back with you tomorrow. It's going to be Tony and I for the first part. Chris is going to be flying to Louisiana, so he will join us when he gets there. But we still have a Scraby show tomorrow night. Also, Padres baseball on the station. But Ben and Woods starts at 6 a.m. Have a good night, everybody.